The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start with the cover story headline on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal. M&A market signs. With the Fed weighing cuts to interest rates, mergers and acquisitions could pick up. And this article, written by Kate Tracy, begins inside with a second headline. Deal pulse picking up. M&A interest exploded in 2021, but the deal flow has softened with higher interest rates. Now interest is rising as the Fed nears a decision. Sometimes buying another company isn't that complicated, it just makes sense. That was the situation for Get Spiffy, a local startup that performs mobile car maintenance services. Earlier this year, Spiffy acquired Nuvin Air of Texas. Carl Murphy, who became Spiffy CEO when Scott Wingo stepped down in August, says conversations with Nuvin Air started in 2022. Nuvin Air makes products that sanitize and remove car odors, similar to Spiffy's own odor combating device. Spiffy used funds from its $30 million capital raise last year to purchase Nuvin Air, and about half of Nuvin Air's employees, 10 people, came as part of the acquisition Murphy calls very successful. It's been accretive to our both revenue and profitability, he says. So we're super, super pleased with it so far. Customers are happy. Get Spiffy is not the only local company turning toward a merger or acquisition to be successful. And across the business community, leaders and investors are watching to see if the Federal Reserve announces interest rates will drop September 18 and how that might impact M&A activity that peaked in 2021. Back in 2021, M&A activity surged to a five-year high when the Triangle saw 164 deals worth $32 billion per PitchBook data. Since then, deals have tapered off. There were 137 deals worth $19 billion in 2022 and 106 deals worth $13.1 billion in 2023. But the latter half of this year has seen an uptick. As of August 21, Triangle companies completed 71 deals equaling $7.1 billion in value, according to PitchBook. The geographical area for all deals includes Raleigh, Cary, Durham, and Chapel Hill. In fact, the Triangle is outpacing Charlotte in deal volume so far this year, with 71 deals compared to Charlotte's 63 deals. But Charlotte's deal value is $20.5 billion, much larger than the Triangle's $7.1 billion. With an interest rate decision looming, experts in the Triangle say there are many factors, including rate changes, leading them to believe that M&A activity will increase, including pent-up demand from those who've waited on the sidelines. Amy Casilia, an attorney who leads the M&A group at Wyrick Robbins, says her firm saw a steep decline in 2023 in M&A deal flow due to inflation and rising interest rates and a natural slowdown following the, quote, busiest M&A year in recent history, unquote, in 2021. It's the cost of borrowing that is the biggest impact on the M&A activity, and so if your cost of borrowing goes down, there's going to be more available to borrow, she says, adding that cheaper borrowing is what helps an M&A deal get done. Silver tsunami ahead. Chris Kwiatkowski leads a team of 40 people at Dogwood State Bank that doles out small business administration loans for nationwide M&A. A major trend he's seeing is the silver tsunami. Baby boomers at or nearing retirement age who are looking to sell their companies. This is their only form of retirement. Most times, they have to be able to monetize the business that they've spent probably a lifetime creating, he says. Kwiatkowski's team underwrites $300,000 loans on the low end and a maximum of $5 million on the high end. These loans do have variable interest rates, but often the loan is much more favorable because it's a 10-year term versus a 3-year term from other conventional lenders. And his team is underwriting loans based on cash flow and goodwill, seeing as many of its business owners don't have much loan collateral, if any. A lot of times, SBA is not only the best alternative, it's the only alternative, he says. Following the last rate increase in July 2023, his team has been extremely busy across all industries, including manufacturing and service industries. We're continuing to see strong trends. Ever since the pandemic, people have really reassessed how they want to have that work-life balance, how they want to live their lives, Kwiatkowski says. And they're either starting businesses or buying existing businesses, so we've been busy from that aspect ever since. Small business owners have had to sit and wait through the pandemic and then rate increases, especially for those business owners in their 60s. That's not exactly ideal. As Jim Hansen, regional president at PNC, says, what you thought was an exit strategy has gotten more difficult because your buyers are not there. But Hansen, too, is seeing pent-up demand from these business owners looking to sell, especially among the small to medium-sized crowd, and buyers of these businesses are already looking at the Triangle. We're a very appealing market from the standpoint of core economic growth, demographic growth, diversity of industry, he says. And so we have a number of folks that look at our market on a regular basis and want to enter into the market, and this acquiring will be one of the ways they'll look to do it. Hansen says PNC's perspective on lending in the current environment has not changed, but the deals themselves have changed. After all, when capital costs more, that factors into how much a potential buyer is willing to pay. And while banks themselves may not be cautious about lending, the acquirers themselves are. We have the capital for them. We would love for them to use it for the right things, he says. And buyers and sellers are willing to work on more owner financing, delayed payouts, or partial sales in order to make a deal work. We just will watch the structure of transactions and capital change, but as you go forward, if rates start coming down, that'll change the equation again, Hansen says. But deals happen when they make sense and the numbers work. In recent months, one of the major deals locally was a bank. Dogwood State Bank of Raleigh merged with South Carolina's Community First Bank Corporation in a deal that made Dogwood a $2 billion bank. It wasn't like we were trying to pick a specific point in time to complete a deal, says David Therrett, chief financial officer at Dogwood, adding that the bank initiated conversations at the end of 2023. This one met all of our filters, all of our criteria, and it made sense to do it, and it was at a reasonable price that we could feel comfortable with it, and so you got to be ready to act when that happens. Deals coming. Mark Phillips, managing director at M&A advisory firm Lampkin Road of Raleigh, views lower interest rates as a general positive economic indicator, leading to a more energetic M&A market. But the timing of selling a company is often more complicated than that when it comes to company owners who have spent the last 30 years growing, sacrificing, and investing in the companies they built. It's not a simple question of how high interest rates are. In fact, market factors are the last priority when it comes to timing. You'll see more deals happening in the second half of this year and in 2025 because I think the circumstances on the buyer side are going to be better as it relates to debt, the availability of debt, equity they need to put into a transaction, and the general economic environment, Phillips says. Because North Carolina, and the Triangle specifically, rank high on lists of places with the fastest growing economies, it puts certain companies looking to sell at an advantage. When we have a local client, we know that all else is equal. It is a more attractive business to a buyer than an identical company that's in another state, he says. We're light years away from where we were a year ago in terms of debt availability and how that's impacting deals. It has changed a lot, Phillips says. What M&A attorneys say? Tucker Idle, a partner at the K&L Gates law firm, says part of the 2022 slowdown was because buyers and sellers couldn't agree on valuations, and those disagreements stemmed in part from sellers believing their companies were worth more than they were, thanks in part from skewed pandemic spending from consumers. But now those valuation gaps are narrowing. We're starting to see more reasonable expectations of value between buyers and sellers there, Idle says. Few of Idle's deals are local, and he primarily represents private equity firms and others, acquirers buying construction and infrastructure companies. While the first half of this year was slow, deal volume has picked up in recent months. We also have some private equity clients who are based locally who are not necessarily competing at a deal size that's super heavily affected by the broader M&A market generally. So they're doing some smaller transactions that are a little bit more insulated from broader market trends, and I think they certainly benefit from that, Idle says. He says businesses must get used to how to do business in a new normal. We're not going to see interest rate declines of 2 or 3% for a while, and buyers need to be able to figure out how to carry on their business in a higher interest rate environment, Idle says. Smith Anderson attorney Timothy Godel has seen the triangle buck national trends over the last few years, with M&A activity holding steady because more companies are moving and generating that activity. Certainly haven't fallen off a cliff around here, he says. Generally, Godel says, valuations will go down in a high interest rate environment, as high interest rates means buyers can't afford as much, so like many, he is watching to see the Fed's next move. If I could predict it, I probably wouldn't be making my living as a lawyer, but it's certainly an interesting time, Godel says. Deals have been taking longer. Buyers were picky last year because they were going after deals that lenders would find attractive and that would be more likely to succeed, says Cecilia, the Wyrick Robbins attorney. They were doing even more diligence than we might typically see. The quality of earnings analysis were really critical to their views, so the timing of getting to a deal from the offer stage to the closing was really longer than we had seen in maybe a decade before that, Cecilia says. Although every deal is different, an average deal was previously taking 6 months to close. Now, with more assured dynamics in place, an average deal will close in around 3 months. That's, as I say, beneficial for everybody, especially our sell-side clients, because time can kill deals, Cecilia says. So far this year, there has been a significant uptick. Deal volume has increased, and companies have more reassurance that rates will no longer increase and might even decrease. In addition, capital that potential buyers or private equity firms were putting on the side is back in play. Our M&A group right now is busier than it's been in any of the last 15 months, Cecilia says. I think the advice is, it was probably better that you didn't sell in 2023, which was a harder market for sellers. And it's getting better in 2024, and it will get even better if the Fed reduces rates. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Hotel rooftop bar continue revamp. Seaboard station project continues to come to life as new Hyatt about to open. Anthony Zanini was already working with Concord Hospitality when the AC Hotel by Marriott opened at North Hills in 2017, but what really took off was the Level 7 rooftop bar, adding a big city feel to the Triangle scene. Honestly, that rooftop was the catalyst to AC and all the other developers creating rooftops, he says. We were making so much money. Now, Zanini takes his experience to the Hyatt House Hotel at Seaboard Station in downtown Raleigh. The official opening date for the 149-room hotel and the 4,100-square-foot high-rail rooftop bar and lounge that comes with it is October 25. But Zanini hopes to open doors sooner. Once he does, it'll continue a transformation in the market he has seen firsthand. Zanini, like many who grew up in New England, yearned to play for the Boston Red Sox. But he quips, "My baseball dreams were shattered completely." So he studied at Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, and worked around the country before taking a job at Del Frisco's in the Triangle in 2009. The Triangle's food and hotel scene was much different then, with the revamped North Hills still relatively new and Raleigh featuring only a handful of top restaurants. "The culture since I've been here is insane," he says. That means providing a new level of amenities. The hotel faces P Street, meaning the high rail has a clear view of the skyline, and Zanini is optimistic that the hotel, which is geared to business travels and has only 5 double rooms, will thrive as Hoffman & Associates' Seaboard Station project rolls out. It's kind of like a mini North Hills, he says. New name for Raleigh Sports Arena. The PNC name came off the side of the Raleigh Arena September 9, but the bank still has a presence there. The Carolina Hurricanes announced that the Champions Club and club-level areas in the arena will become the PNC Victory Club and the PNC Club level. In many ways, the changes are a harbinger of a new era for the arena, formerly known as PNC, as the Canes now have a long-term deal with the Centennial Authority. Canes owner Tom Dundon is poised to develop the area around the arena, and Carter Finley Stadium with Phase 1 set to begin in late 2025. Home near Charlotte on the market for $13.8 million. You don't see many homes in North Carolina with a price of more than $10 million, but a swank home near Charlotte is now on the market for a whopping $13.8 million. The home on Lake Norman in Mooresville was built in 2018 and went on the market September 7. It features 8,200 square feet and a whopping 1,100 feet of waterfront property. Listing broker Lori Ivester Jackson of Ivester Jackson Christie's International Real Estate describes the house as just stunning. Durham, a destination city? Survey says yes. The summer vacation season has come to an end, but there is one more spot you may want to add to your list. Durham. CNN Travel highlights the city on a new list of the most underrated destinations in the country. It's a list that includes national parks, coastal spots, and even small and cold cities like Buffalo, New York. But Durham stands out for its dramatic turnaround over the past 15 years, CNN says. The city is booming with new jobs, companies, and residents. The downtown area is undergoing a complete remake, one that includes a new high-rise luxury residential tower with multi-million dollar units. The American Tobacco Campus and Brightleaf Square are expanding, and the Durham Bulls remain an iconic minor league team. And finally, First Horizon's Bunn promoted to new role. Laura Bunn started her career in banking as a teller while attending NC State University. Now, the First Horizon National Executive has a new role. Bunn, the Triangle Market President for First Horizon, will shift to Regional President of the Mid-Atlantic region as of October 1st. Her advice for other women aspiring to leadership roles? Be yourself, she says. You're in that room and in the role for a reason, so beyond being the best you can be at your job, make the most of being at that table and whatever table that is. Be open to take on new responsibilities, even if you don't feel qualified. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Lauren Onosorge. Jets, apartments among executive perks. CEOs at Triangle's public companies often get compensation beyond pay. From private jets to company cars, it pays to be an executive at some of the largest public companies in the Triangle. The Triangle Business Journal did a sweep of recently filed proxy statements that show compensation is just one of the perks top Triangle executives receive. For example, at First Citizens Bank, three corporate apartments in South Carolina and New York City are made available to executives for business purposes. Peter Bristow, company president, primarily used the New York City apartment in 2023 due to duties resulting in part from the Raleigh Bank's buyout of Silicon Valley Bank in March 2023. At First Citizens, the perks include home security systems. CEO Frank Holding Jr. uses the services of staff for personal activities. ICVIA CEO Ari Boosbib receives reimbursement for reasonable expenses related to home security and financial planning. He's also entitled to the use of a company car and personal use of a corporate aircraft, subject to the business needs of the company. Investors Title Company of Chapel Hill provides company-owned vehicles to executives and doesn't restrict personal use of those automobiles. At Highwoods Properties in Raleigh, executives are also entitled to vehicle allowances. Martin Marietta does not provide car allowances, but it does allow executives to utilize the company aircraft for corporate trips. But the biggest perk was the paycheck. ICVIA's Boosbib reported more than $29 million in total compensation in 2023. Ward Nye, CEO of Martin Marietta, made nearly $18.5 million in total compensation in 2023, including nearly $8.6 million in stock awards. At Raleigh's Bandwidth, 75% of CEO David Morkin's total compensation of just under $2 million was tied directly to how it performed. But some companies cited special circumstances. At Advance Auto Parts, new CEO Shane O'Kelly received $1 million when he joined, both to replace his compensation from his previous employer and incentivize prompt relocation to Raleigh. And our next article is written by Kaylee Thompson. New Durham Tower adds spec space. The Roxborough pivots to add nearly 30,000 square feet of new lab footage. A new tower in downtown Durham that's in search of tenants is adding spec lab space. Trinity Capital Advisors and SLI Capital are building nearly 30,000 square feet of speculative lab suites in the Roxborough at Venable Center, an 8-story lab and office building with 202,000 square feet of space. Jeff Sheehan, managing partner with Trinity Capital, says that after having success with leasing for its Spec Lab suites at Southport Innovation Center in Mooresville and finding that the latest data shows 70% of lab leases signed in the Triangle market were for spec suites, it decided to do the same at the Roxborough. The Roxborough was completed in early 2022 but has yet to sign any tenants, according to Triangle Business Journal Space Data. The Venable Center is a restored tobacco mill with 87,416 square feet of life sciences and creative office space. Precision Biosciences, the anchor tenant at Venable Center, recently extended its lease by 5 years for its 71,000 square feet. The Roxborough is a separate building along Pettigrew Street next to the Venable Durham Apartments. The Spec Lab space at the Roxborough will total 28,949 square feet, or one full floor. The space could accommodate up to 5 users and range in size from 3,647 square feet to 6,188. In this size range, we would expect someone who's graduating out of a smaller spec suite in downtown Durham, or maybe they didn't even have a full suite. They just had a few benches, Sheehan says. We're seeing a lot of, based on our Southport project, Boston companies who want to have an RTP presence with access to the workforce we have here, but aren't ready to move into a full headquarters. The suites will be ready for move-in by the second quarter of 2025. CBRE says the suites will have state-of-the-art lab build-outs and finishes. There's a significant amount of new lab space across the triangle that is sitting empty, upping the vacancy rate, and more is coming. The flex space vacancy rate for downtown Durham in the second quarter was 14.64%, according to TBJ Space. That's lower than the triangle's flex vacancy rate, which was 15.8% in the second quarter. Womble Bond will merge with Phoenix Firm. This article is written by Kate Tracy. Womble Bond Dickinson, one of the Triangle's largest law firms, is merging with Lewis Rocha, an attorney practice based in Phoenix. This will create a company with more than $742 million in gross annual revenue and more than 1,300 attorneys across 37 offices in the U.S. and United Kingdom. The merger is expected to be finalized January 1st, Womble announced September 10th. Womble has 119 employees based in Raleigh, including 71 attorneys. The Raleigh office is at 555 Fayetteville Street. The firm also has 39 employees in Research Triangle Park, Durham, 17 of whom are attorneys. The company says all of its local employees will remain and it will keep its Raleigh office. Raleigh-based Chris Jones, a member of Womble's global board and management committee, says the merger made sense from a culture standpoint and other factors. It was a really good geographic fit for us. Many of our existing clients have business interests in the Mountain West and in the Southwest and in California, where Lewis Rocha is, Jones says. And many of their clients have business interests on the East Coast, as you might imagine. And so strategically, we have a whole bevy of clients on both sides that have interests in places where we will now be. The firm is keeping its office footprint in downtown Raleigh and in RTP as is, with future growth possible. And Simone Graham of the Charlotte Business Journal contributed to this article. And our last top news story is written by Lauren Onasorge. Raleigh software firm sold an $875 million deal. ShareFile, founded by Jesse Lipson in 2005, was owned in the past by Citrix. ShareFile, a homegrown Raleigh software firm, once again has a new owner. Progress Software Corporation, a provider of application development and infrastructure software, is buying ShareFile, a business unit of Cloud Software Group Incorporated. The price is $875 million, coming in a combination of cash and Progress Software's existing revolving credit facility. ShareFile, a competitor of OneDrive and Dropbox for businesses, provides a cloud-based suite of products to move files across organizations and let participants collaborate on digital documents. The deal, expected to close by the end of November, is projected to add more than $240 million in annual revenue and more than 86,000 customers to Progress. ShareFile's edge is compliance. Progress CEO Yogesh Gupta said in a conference call September 9, a key aspect for law, accounting, and financial firms sharing sensitive documents with clients. ShareFile's enterprise software has also embedded generative AI tools to create user guides to documents, summaries, and Q&As, while keeping traditional document sharing features such as syncing files and verifying e-signatures, Gupta added. Gupta told analysts that the deal came about when CSG decided that ShareFile was no longer strategic to them and hired bankers who reached out to Progress. "The more we looked, the more we liked what we saw," he said of ShareFile. Gupta noted that the revenue boost provided by ShareFile is expected to bring annual revenue to nearly $1 billion. The sale to Progress Software comes 13 years after Citrix Systems bought ShareFile for $93 million. ShareFile dates back to 2005 when founder Jesse Lipson, a Duke University graduate dabbling in coding, started an HTML business plan in his basement apartment. "Looking back, I can't imagine anyone putting their credit card number in that," he said last year, pointing to ShareFile's initial website being rudimentary by today's standards. But armed with what he called a big, hairy, audacious goal, the company grew steadily, catching the eye of Citrix in 2011. Following the Citrix acquisition, ShareFile's center of gravity remained in Raleigh, but a series of layoff rounds and revenue misses followed. While earnings calls continued to call ShareFile a silver lining for the company, Citrix's local operation went from more than 800 workers in Raleigh to just 250 at ShareFile when the unit was acquired by a pair of private equity firms for $16.5 billion 2 years ago. The deal led to the creation of a new entity, Cloud Software Group, or CSG. ShareFile became a standalone business unit within that company. Lipson, who left the firm in 2017, created another startup, Levitate, which recently raised $15 million. ShareFile is now mostly remote and based out of the Block 83 development in Glenwood South. And Lucia Maffei of the Boston Business Journal contributed to this story. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World. This page, the first story on this page, First Tee lands new home in Raleigh. Tri-Golf provides golf simulators, driving range, and more. A new golf facility has opened in Raleigh, and it's a boost for an organization that looks to introduce young people to golf. Tri-Golf, located at 12201 Leesville Road in Northwest Raleigh, had a grand celebration scheduled for September 5. It will be home to youth golf nonprofit First Tee Triangle and its program, but it's also open to the public. The facility features a driving range, putting green, simulator bays, and more. Brandon Baker, president and CEO of First Tee, says the project has been at least 5.5 years in the making. The new facilities at the property include the Town Bank Learning Center, a 5,000-square-foot building for First Tee's programs. The first floor of the new building features two golf simulator bays that members of the public can rent out as they're available. And the facility also has staff offices, meeting spaces, and an area for kids to do homework or play indoor golf during inclement weather. "We can do everything in this building, from run-after-school programs and summer camps to host board meetings and corporate events or anything like that," Baker says. "So it's a pretty flexible space by design, a lot of retractable walls and movable curtains and that kind of stuff to make you feel like it's bigger than it is, quite frankly." The 21.5-acre property includes a playground, a 28-bay driving range, and a 32,000-square-foot 18-hole putting course. The putting course is modeled after the Himalayas putting green at St. Andrews Links in Scotland, with plenty of natural features. The project started with a $6.5 million budget, but after pandemic delays and increased in construction costs, the project raised a total of $9 million. Funding came through more than 250 individual and corporate donors, as well as in-kind donations. "It's been a labor of love for our board, for our entire staff and organization," Baker says. The new facility will help Tri-Golf and First Tee expand its programming and work with more than 1,000 kids annually. Next on deck is the facility's 9-hole par 3 course, which Baker hopes to open by Labor Day 2025. Tri-Golf is looking for an additional $2 million to fund this course. Tri-Golf is open to the public. Monthly memberships cost $175 for individuals, $300 for families, and $115 for ages 17 and under. Triangle resident rides to honor brother's cancer fight. A Triangle resident and member of the Coast Guard will honor his brother's fight against cancer when he joins 126 fellow Bristol-Myers Squibb colleagues in September as part of a 3,000-mile relay to raise funds for the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Kyle Downs will be part of a team that will ride up to 80 miles per day beginning September 30 and ending October 2nd. Last year, Downs' youngest brother, Corey was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Corey Downs, in his early 30s, faced an inoperable cancer mass, and the journey through treatment was grueling but successful. Corey Downs won the ticket lottery for the 2024 Masters and enjoyed the event with his brother at Augusta National. Corey waited for a formal diagnosis in our hometown in Florida. I sat here in North Carolina feeling helpless, fearing the unknown, and not knowing what it was I could do to make my brother feel better, Kyle Downs says. Though I lived too far away to stay with him during his treatment sessions, I sent him care packages to keep his morale up and let him know I was thinking of him, that I love him, and that I knew he could get through this. This ride symbolizes my commitment to honoring my brother and supporting the millions of families around the world suffering through cancer. Realtors hit milestone on stable housing. The Raleigh Regional Association of Realtors Realtor Giving Network hit a milestone August 19 by furnishing its 100th apartment. Since 2017, the network has provided furniture and household supplies to families transitioning out of homelessness. The family moving into the apartment is a client of The Carrying Place, and furniture was provided by the Green Chair Project. Realtors from the Jim Allen Group set up the home for the family. Purdue Farms supports local food banks. Several food banks in North Carolina benefited from Purdue Farms donating 400,000 pounds of no antibiotics ever chicken to 10 food banks along the East Coast from Delaware to Georgia as part of a September effort to support those in need. Among those benefiting from the effort were the Food Bank of the Albemarle and the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, Sand Hills Branch. And finally, Wells Fargo supports military families. The Wells Fargo Foundation is awarding Hope for the Warriors, a nonprofit dedicated to supporting post-9/11 military families, a $200,000 grant. Wells Fargo and Capital Ford Wilmington and Capital Ford Raleigh also contributed $66,000 for a new 2024 Ford Transit XL 15-passenger van, which will support Hope's various programs and events. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Kaylee Thompson's page on real estate and development. Downtown condos start under $400,000. Grayson Homes plans 21 condos that will include rooftop views. Downtown condos with rooftop views of the Raleigh skyline are in the works for a price that seems shocking. Grayson Homes of Raleigh has plans to build 21 condominiums across a pair of connected buildings that will each be three stories. The condos will start at $395,000, according to the builder, a notably low price given how expensive homes in the city are these days. The project is located on East Lenore Street near John Chavis Memorial Park. 19 of the units will range from $395,000 to $585,000. Two of the units will be designated as affordable housing and available for rent. The for sale units will have two bedrooms with private balconies, 9-foot ceilings, stainless steel appliances, and a kitchen island. The three ground floor units will each have a mini yard. All the units will have access to the rooftop terrace. Some of the units will be two-story loft penthouses with an extra bathroom, double height living room, loft, and direct access to the rooftop. The buildings will have an elevator, covered parking, indoor bike storage, and fenced pet area. The two affordable units will have one bedroom and be offered at 60% of the area median income for 30 years. Stephen Wilk, Vice President of Development with Grayson Homes, says the builder originally planned to build 12 units, but after talking with city staff about the frequent transit development option, the plans changed. Utilizing the frequent transit development option allows for more density and multifamily housing near high-frequency transit services. Wilk says the builder is looking to start demolition by the end of this year and go vertical in January. The condos will be at 709 and 717 East Lenore Street. This area between John Chavis Memorial Park and the core of downtown has been growing with infill residential projects. Major Chapel Hill development moves ahead. A $500 million mixed-use development in southern Chapel Hill is advancing. New York-based Beachwood Carolinas will be starting construction this month on its South Creek development across from Southern Community Park. South Creek will have up to 815 apartments, condominiums, and townhomes in a range of prices. The developer is specifically targeting helping the town tackle its housing shortage. In addition, there will be up to 52,000 square feet of commercial space. Right now, 798 units are planned, 92 are apartments, 100 are townhomes, and 606 are condos. Condos will range for sale from $300,000 to $1 million. The first building to be constructed will be the 92-unit apartment building, which will sit at the entrance to the community along the future extension of Market Street. The residential building will have 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail. A 6,000 square foot standalone restaurant will sit next to the apartment building. After the apartment building is complete, the company will start work on the first condo building, which will have 68 units. The apartments and condos will be a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, while the townhomes will be 3 bedrooms. Development around Arena takes next step. Developing of the 80 acres surrounding PNC Arena is moving forward, or now Lenovo Arena, as the Centennial Authority takes steps to continue planning the revamp of PNC Arena in Raleigh. Pacific Elm Properties of Dallas is working on the outside. The plan is to go from commercial mixed use up to 12 stories to a planned development. A pre-submittal meeting was planned for September 11. Pacific Elm Properties is Gale Force Sports and Entertainment's real estate affiliate and is majority owned by Dundon Capital Partners. The first phase will have more than 200,000 square feet of retail, a 150-room hotel, more than 500 apartments, and 150,000 square feet of office space. 10% of the apartment units will be made available to those making 80% of the area median income. Construction is anticipated to start in winter 2025 with completion of Phase 1 in 2030. Developer charts homes commercial space. A mixed-use neighborhood with commercial space and a public park is coming to southern Wake County in Holly Springs. Greenhawk Development of Raleigh got its rezoning request approved by the Holly Springs Town Council. The approval changed 55.4 acres along Avent Ferry Road near Harris Lake to neighborhood mixed use from rural residential. Greenhawk will develop Reagan, spelled R-A-G-A-N, a neighborhood with 115 townhomes, 164 cottages or quadplexes, up to 32,000 square feet of commercial space, and a 7-acre public park. Jeremy Medlin, Executive Vice President of Development for Greenhawk, says the developer is hoping to start site work in early 2026. The development will take 3 to 5 years to complete. And finally, huge pool part of new apartment complex. Miami Group opens first part of 10-building development at the Triangle Town Center. An apartment complex with more than 40,000 square feet of amenities near Triangle Town Center is open. Developer-related group of Miami has completed the first 4 buildings in its 10-building apartment community, Town Triangle Crossing in Raleigh. The $110 million complex is open with the final buildings finishing up in the first quarter of 2025. The amenities are also open, with the developer claiming it is the largest residential swimming pool in the state. The 3,200-square-foot pool is heated, and there is a year-round spa that can seat 38 people. The pool is roughly two-thirds the size of a college basketball court, which is 4,700 square feet. Also in the 1-acre courtyard around the pool are cabanas, hammocks, fire pit, game lawn, picnic tables, and an outdoor kitchen with grills and a pizza oven. Every project we do tends to be top of the market in terms of how we amenitize it, not just quantity, but the quality of it. We didn't see anything like it in North Carolina, and we could be proven wrong, but we think we've got a unique property and one that will stand out, says Ed Allen, Vice President of Development for Related. Other amenities include a fitness center with a yoga, spin, and Pilates studio, 24-hour grab-and-go market, dog park, pet spa, pickleball courts, clubhouse, wine lounge, indoor sauna, game room, conference rooms, co-working spaces, and private meeting rooms. Town Triangle Crossing will have 384 units when complete, a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. The buildings are split 3 and 4 stories. Charlie Humphreys, Vice President of Development for Related, says the property is 25% leased so far. The units range between $1,547 and $2,758 for monthly rent. Interior features are Samsung appliances, under-cabinet lighting, granite countertops, full-size washer and dryers, and balconies. In addition to the amenity offerings, the apartment community is fully gated, a rarity in the Triangle. The area around Triangle Town Center is seeing a bit of revitalization as developers target it for new projects. A new senior living facility recently opened and a new hotel is planned. A rezoning application has been submitted to allow for a three-story multifamily building, while Nordstrom's will bring a discount store to Triangle Town Place Shopping Center. This is Related Group's first development in the Triangle and the first that it has developed and built in North Carolina. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page on Greater Triangle. Johnston County, age-restricted homes for Clayton. McKee Homes spends $2 million for lots at Walk at East Village. A local home builder has spent millions to acquire additional lots in a popular age-restricted community in one of North Carolina's hottest counties. An LLC tied to McKee Homes recently paid a little more than $2 million to acquire 20 lots in the Walk at East Village neighborhood in Clayton, according to Johnston County deed records from August. The neighborhood sits off the intersection of U.S. 70 Business and NC 42 and is reserved for those 55 and older. McKee Homes did not respond to requests seeking comment about the estimated sales price for new homes. According to the home builder's website, houses in the neighborhood start at just below $369,000 and go up to around $500,000. The Walk at East Village made its debut in 2017, according to a Triangle Business Journal article from the time. The developers, TIMU Group of Raleigh, says the neighborhood was inspired by pocket neighborhoods they had studied and visited in Washington State's Puget Sound region. The neighborhood was set to have roughly 300 units. Johnston County's residential real estate scene has been red hot as people continue to flood into the county year after year. Per estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, as of July 2023, the county had 241,955 people. That is way up from the estimated 168,878 residents in 2010. And this population growth has caught home builders' attention. TBJ reported earlier this month that an LLC tied to Eastwood Homes of Charlotte purchased a combined 68 lots across two proposed subdivisions in Johnston County for more than $6.3 million in late August, according to two separate deeds. The neighborhoods will be in the towns of Archer Lodge and Benson, respectively. Clayton's population has now reached 29,445, a huge jump. In recent years, it was roughly 8,100. As of 2000. Moore County. Florida firm buys land near Southern Pines. A Florida private equity firm is pouring millions into land in Moore County, continuing a trend of out-of-state investments in the area. DFC Montrose, tied to DF Capital Management out of Ponte Verde Beach, purchased 34.5 acres off Fort Bragg Road between the towns of Southern Pines and Aberdeen for a little over $3 million last month, according to Moore County deed records. The land is vacant and is zoned for residential use. Representatives of the company did not respond to requests seeking comment. According to its website, DF Capital Management focuses on investing in single-family residential real estate. The group is partnering with Florida home builder Dream Finders Homes Incorporated. Moore County is most known for its wide assortment of golf clubs and courses, including its most famous course, Pinehurst No. 2, at Pinehurst Resort, where the 2024 U.S. Open Golf Championship was held. But beyond golf, the county has attracted a plethora of people to live there. The county's population stood at a little above 88,000 in 2010, according to estimates from the U.S. state's Census Bureau. As of last year, that population total skyrocketed to 107,000. Lee County, more than 100 homes planned for Sanford. Sanford leaders have been looking to bolster the Lee County city housing stock so that more people who work there can live there, and developers are responding. An LLC tied to the Grocci Companies, a real estate group out of Sanford, has submitted plans for a new subdivision with 101 single-family homes across 132 acres in the city called the River Falls subdivision, according to documents recently submitted to the Sanford Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee. The new subdivision would be off the intersection of Sheriff Watson Road and River Falls Road. The grocery companies acquired the land, which is owned for residential use, for a little more than $1.55 million in March 2022, according to Lee County deed records. The housing development will be welcome news for Sanford, a city of more than 32,000 people that is set to grow larger as it lands big investments from new and pre-existing employers. Out-of-state buyer. Prime land in Smithfield sells for $1.9 million. A prominent location in Johnston County has received an investment from an out-of-state group. Storyland Properties, based out of Central Virginia, purchased a roughly one-acre lot off North Brightleaf Boulevard in Smithfield for just under $1.9 million in August, according to Johnston County deed records. A Take 5 oil change is located on the property at 1307 North Brightleaf Boulevard. Storyland Properties is tied to Stephen Story, the former owner of James River Transportation, a transportation company in Richmond that last year was acquired by Academy Bus of New Jersey. The seller is Smithfield Take 5, an LLC tied to Durbin Development of Charlotte. Chatham County. Swank homes now planned for Jordan Lake area. 30 luxury homes on large lots will range from $1.8 million to $3.5 million in price. Luxury homes are coming soon to Chatham County near the most visited state park in North Carolina. Sitting off the intersection of Seaforth Road and North Pea Ridge Road by Jordan Lake, Firefly Overlook at Jordan Lake will tout 30 luxury homes on lot sizes of 1.5 to 5 acres. Prospective buyers can work with one of a group of five custom home builders: Hearst Home Company, AAA Homes, Wagner Homes, Poitras Construction Company, and Hearthstone Luxury Homes to build a home from 3,500 square feet up to 6,000 square feet. Jonathan Stroud, a broker with the real estate company, which is representing the development, says that half the lots so far are closed and under contract. Remaining lots start at $269,500. And including the price of the lots, home packages will cost anywhere between $1.8 million to $3.5 million, Stroud says. Location has always been important in purchasing real estate, says Patrick A. O'Neill, broker in charge of the real estate company. What sets Firefly Overlook at Jordan Lake apart is its beauty, wonderful trees and mountain-like setting, while remaining only minutes away from Cary, Chapel Hill, and the new Chatham Park and future Disney community with all its planned amenities. Chatham County, with a growing population that now sits at 81,624, per the most recent estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, is booming with new housing developments. The one with the most anticipation is Asteria, a Disney-themed venture from Story Living by Disney, a new business venture from the Walt Disney Company. The community, which will be located in Chatham Park, will cover 1,500 acres and have more than 4,000 residential units. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page on higher education. UNC looks at adding School of Engineering. Key UNC report proposes new engineering school enrollment surge. UNC Chapel Hill could see significant enrollment growth over the next 10 years and the formation of a new engineering school as the university carries out the recommendations of working groups established by Chancellor Lee Roberts earlier this year. In the spring, Roberts tasked four working groups with evaluating how the university should address the priority areas of enrollment, artificial intelligence, the university's physical master plan, and its applied sciences programs. Those groups were tasked with filing reports in August, which were recently made publicly available. One of the most significant recommendations to come out of the report is a proposal to create a new engineering school at UNC Chapel Hill. The university once had its own engineering school, but it was moved to NC State University in 1935 when the state, strapped for cash in the Great Depression, consolidated the programs in Chapel Hill and Raleigh. NC State is now recognized as one of the best engineering schools in the nation. While UNC is one of the few top research universities in the U.S. that lacks a dedicated engineering school, Carolina, for its part, has seen a significant increase in its applied sciences and engineering undergraduate enrollment over the past decade, but there remains a shortage in available education options for North Carolina residents. This presents UNC with an opportunity to expand its program offerings, according to a report from the Applied Sciences Sciences Working Group, led by Clemens and Vice Chancellor for Research, Penny Gordon Larson. The group's report outlines recommendations to create the new school, increase existing programs, explore new programs, and for Carolina to strengthen its relationships with other UNC system schools. Also in its report, the Enrollment Planning Working Group, led by Vice Provost for Enrollment, Rachel Feldman, outlines recommendations that include increasing undergraduate enrollment by 5,000 students over the next 10 years. This growth, which would start modest and ramp up in the latter years, would be evenly split between non-residents and residents. The working group also recommends an increase to the school's non-resident cap from 18% to 25%. That's a significant change, and out-of-state students pay far higher tuition than in-state students. UNC has significant capital project needs. Some of the university's deferred maintenance and stalled projects are at a tipping point, this group's report says, with potential risks being more costly repairs or buildings becoming unsalvageable. If the university does not address its infrastructure needs, it risks erosion of the university's brand and reputation. Also, Roberts established the Generative AI Working Group to evaluate how Carolina should be using AI in its internal operations and what it should prioritize when it comes to research opportunities around AI. This working group identified numerous primary recommendations outlining how the university should leverage its research strengths, including identifying the teams and research areas where AI will have the largest impact, and the creation of a new leadership role that would be responsible for the university's data strategy, data AI readiness, and AI guidelines for the institution. NC Central enrollment jumps with big class. The new chancellor of NC Central University is beginning her tenure with positive momentum. NCCU recorded its largest ever incoming freshman class with more than 1,700 first-time students enrolling at the school. Meanwhile, the university's total enrollment for the fall semester is more than 8,500 students, an increase of nearly 8% from the previous year. Growing enrollment is a priority for Chancellor Carrie Dixon, who arrived July 1st. Enrollment had remained around 8,000 for each fall semester throughout much of the past decade, according to University of North Carolina system data, but it dipped to a low of 7,553 students in fall 2022, before rising to 7,956 last year. The university this fall added 1,753 first-time students in its freshman class. NC Central also added 624 students who transferred from elsewhere or are pursuing a second degree. Dixon says the school has already recorded 1,600 applications for next year. I was talking to a freshman student who told me this was a student from out of state, and what really sold them about NCCU was the location, being in the Bull City, having other higher education institutions in close proximity, and just loving the vibes of the energy around the city and around this triangle area, Dixon says. And our last reporter page is written by Kate Tracy on retail and restaurants. Entrepreneurs at Golf Pickleball, new venue near downtown features 16 pickleball courts, golf simulators. Raleigh's newest pickleball and indoor golf venue is getting the finishing touches ahead of opening in the coming weeks. Pinpoint, located in a large warehouse space at 2201 South Wilmington Street, just south of downtown, is opening to the public later this month. The space features 16 pickleball courts, golf simulators, and a chipping and putting area. A trio of friends, Garrett Leatham, Jacob Sterrett, and Dylan Bryan, dreamed up the vision for the approximately 70,000-square-foot facility last year. "There are just a few loose ends we've got to tie up," says Brian, the chief financial officer. "If we had to, we could be here till midnight and get this thing cranked out, but that's not what we're in the business of. We want to make it perfect the first go-around, or as close to it as we can get." Pinpoint's Pro Shop, where customers can find pickleball paddles, golf clubs, apparel, and more, is on the first level, but the main venue is upstairs. Near the entryway on the second level, guests can enjoy a bar area that seats 40. Next to the bar, Pinpoint has a putting area and three separate chipping bays. Membership costs $139.99 a month, and the business has sold about one-fifth of its memberships. Drop-ins cost $15 for designated open play times, and court reservations cost $40 an hour with a two-hour minimum. Pinpoint will hire between 20 and 30 people, including a director of pickleball, bar manager, and coaches. The total investment in Pinpoint is between $1.5 and $2 million. In addition to Raleigh, the Pinpoint owners have signed a lease for a location in North Myrtle Beach that will open in 2025. The owners are eyeing two other locations for expansion along the East Coast as well. Bacatzias to open latest venture in Cary in October. Georgios Bacatzias is preparing a feast fit for the gods in the town of Cary. The longtime restaurateur and owner of Georgios Hospitality Group plans to open his latest restaurant called Nios Hellenic Cuisine at 2800 Renaissance Park Place in the former Co-An space in October. In Greek, the word naos, spelled N-A-O-S, means temple or shrine, and the name pays homage to one of the restaurant's goals of creating a sanctuary for hospitality. The building itself is 10,000 square feet, and Bacatzias describes the design as regal and grand. Naos will emphasize seafood and fish, large cuts of lamb and beef, and a variety of slow-braised dishes cooked in clay pots. Bacatzias signed a 20-year lease for the space. "I don't do short leases," he says. Total investment in Naos was approximately $1.5 million. For the first 5 years, base rent for the new restaurant is $17,000 a month, or 6.5% of monthly sales, whichever is greater, according to the lease. Full Steam finds new location in Durham. After announcing it will close its current downtown Durham taproom, Full Steam Brewery has landed new digs. Full Steam Brewery signed a 12-year lease recently for 9,000 square feet at the American Tobacco Campus in Durham, aiming for an opening next year. Meanwhile, the brewery is shifting its beer production to Fortnite Brewing Company in Cary. The 9,000 square foot space is smaller than Full Steam's current 14,000 square foot space at 726 Rigsby Avenue, which is closing October 31. However, the majority of that space was devoted to beer production, while the future ATC location will mostly be for guests. The new venue will feature a restaurant on one side and a bar on the other. And finally, Wake Forest Grove 98 adds local fitness firm. Local fitness company O2 Fitness is opening a new location soon in Wake Forest. The new studio will be located at 11136 Ligon Mill Road in Grove 98, according to the fitness studio's website. Grove 98 is a Wegmans-anchored mixed-use development located off Highway 98 and Ligon Mill Road. Amenities at the new O2 Fitness location include saunas, a large indoor and outdoor turf area, cardio and weightlifting equipment, and more. The studio offers personal training as well as fitness classes, including yoga, bar, and high-intensity interval training. In addition to fitness offerings, O2 will have an area for kids, co-working space, lounges, and wellness offices. And we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.